I feel like I couldn't tell if that Mayweather fight was real.
I don't know,
man. I have my doubts.
Wait, so he's just fighting like anybody now?
I mean, they probably, I don't know if just anybody is the proper way to say that. You know, number one, that guy is a legit kickboxer. He's a legit MMA fighter.
Yeah.
He was fighting Mayweather in boxing.
Yeah.
In an exhibition bout that was only three 3 minute rounds. So it wasn't even like the loss doesn't go on either one of their records.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it just didn't come off real to me. It felt insincere. Like the guy, I felt like he was overacting with his fall downs when he was getting knocked down, especially the first couple knockdowns.
Really?
Seemed very insincere to me. Also, Two Jack Bros, episode 50. What's up?
What's up? Okay, I'll put my phone down.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, it just didn't come off real to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, whatever. And I'm sure he got paid a lot of money.
Both of them.
No. I'm sure Mayweather got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm not sure anything about the other guy. Because the other guy is not Conor McGregor.
No.
You know? So I'm absolutely positive.
But other parts of the world, kickboxing is huge.
Yeah, but again, I don't know anything. I can't say anything about both of them. I don't know how that worked.
Yeah.
You know, I know Mayweather and McGregor both made a lot of money.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that was. I don't know. It just seemed fake to me. I didn't buy it.
Okay.
I didn't buy it.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know how challenging of a fight it would have been. It seemed like it could have been had it been real. Yeah, I'm going out there. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're at a different studio right now. Doing
upstairs have a little studio.
Yeah, upstairs studio. Is that, does that, was that a come up to you?
Classy. Yeah. We're classy now.
All right. Cool. We temporary though. We temporary studio. We're temporarily classy.
Yes.
We might have a different vibe like I was saying before. I guess that vibe is classy.
Classy vibe.
All right, we're gonna keep it classy, I guess.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like us at all, but we'll see what happens.
We're like redneck classy, though.
Yeah, we are redneck classy. Like the type of classy where you might hear us discipline our kids.
Yeah. In a real redneck sort of way.
Yeah, whatever. I think the worst part of that is the fact that after we discipline our kids, we, for the next 20 minutes, talk about how good we are at disciplining our kids. So I guess that's the...
We're not like getting down on their level and speaking to them in their face and acknowledging their emotions. We're just yelling from upstairs. Shut up.
That's not us at all. But that's we weren't talking about anything yet.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing yet.
Man, the other fights that were real this weekend, though, the UFC fights were pretty interesting.
That's what I was thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not even like the result. Well, you're thinking about the results of the fights?
Well, no. Did you look at what happened to Kat Zagano's eye? Did you look at her post afterwards?
No, I didn't.
She had like a bunch of stitches in her eyelid and like her eye was scratched, but she's going to be okay. But she was worried, like, I think she thought she was going to be blind. Like,
yeah, I mean, she got kicked in the eyeball with a toe.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very specific.
And I think it must have been toenail, too. Yeah. Like, that girl was really tall. I feel like she had long, strong toenails on her.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you have to have your toenails trimmed to a certain point.
Yeah.
In MMA.
Yeah.
You know, unless they have to bear some of the indignity of forcing them to cut their toenails or they can't or they can't fight.
These are part of my identity.
Oh, no, the indignity. So, you know, that was pretty wild. I thought my favorite thing about all of this is that, you know, so if you don't follow UFC, you probably at least know that John Jones is a fighter in the UFC and he tested positive for performance enhancing drugs, but like such a small amount of it that the scientists, the experts say that you can't take on purpose.
Because you said it was like a millionth of a size of a rice.
Well, no, 48 millionths.
48 millionths yeah, is the size of a
said,
rice.
The way he described it, that he was told, again, I'm quoting a person who, you know, has the education of a fighter. You know, but he's saying that the experts told him that if you take a grain of rice and you cut it into 48 million pieces,
yeah,
one of those.
That's tiny.
Yeah, that's tiny.
I don't know much about like how much drug enhancing. That's just tiny. That's a tiny amount.
That's a tiny amount.
Yeah.
And it couldn't possibly have a drug enhancing effect or a performance enhancing effect, right?
Yeah.
So, but here's the deal, though. Him and Daniel Cormier, a fighter that he beat before and then tested positive after. This isn't his first positive test.
Right.
Right?
Well, they said this was leftover from his first positive test, right?
It's just
I heard that thrown
because
out there.
Like, according to that first positive test, it was supposed to be such a small amount that it couldn't be measurable.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like...
Okay.
Right? And Daniel Cormier had an issue with that.
Yeah.
And so he was like tweeting at him and stuff. And John Jones, he tweeted back to him like, Daniel Cormier, you're my bitch. I could slap your wife on the ass and you couldn't do shit about it.
Oh, that's harsh.
It is harsh, right?
Yeah.
Daniel Cormier fired back with something, but most importantly, he said, and I wouldn't dream of touching your wife's flat ass.
Oh, that's harsh.
So, yeah, that's hilarious to me. And so instantly I start looking up their wives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so
I saw John Jones' wife at the fight.
You saw John Jones' wife at the fight. Okay. Yeah. What do you think Daniel Cormier's wife looks like?
Oh. I think he's got a white lady too.
Okay.
I think she's blonde, and I think that she's, I don't know, I feel like this is such a trap. I think that she's, you know, got some curves to her.
So she's a white chick with an ass, is what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so as best as I can tell, his wife is, like, Latino.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, there are no shots of her butt. You know,
not yet.
They don't, yeah, not yet. There will be.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be some very.
You're not the only one Googling that.
Yeah, but John Jones's wife.
Yeah.
She does have a flat ass. She does. She absolutely does.
Yeah.
And so, they asked John Jones about it at a something else. They were like, "What do you think of Daniel Cormier's response?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, about my wife's flat ass. My wife does have a flat ass, but I love it." And no, you don't. I mean, let's be real about this, right? I mean, I cast no judgments on anyone with a flat ass.
Yeah,
but I hope you have a personality.
You don't think like any man, even if he's not an ass man, like, okay, so like guys like different parts, right?
Yeah.
Even if they're not an ass man, you think they still don't appreciate, like, it's still like, I wish there was a little bubble to that.
It's just like, it's a flat ass, right, is, in a visual context, the lack of ass. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, there is no doubt in my mind that 99.999% of all men prefer the presence of an ass. Do you know what I mean?
That's fair.
The hint of an ass.
The hint of
an
ass.
A whisper of an ass. You know, can it be anything like a sprinkle, a dash? Like any, like just like, you know?
Just a little butt.
The perception of an ass. Can I get the perception of an
48
ass,
48 millionth of a rice grain of an ass.
That's a picogram, by the way.
Okay.
A picogram of an ass. A pico ass? Can I get a pico? Yeah. That's, no, I think I can say that with absolute certainty. And that includes gay men.
They're like an ass.
I think, let me rephrase that. Human beings. I think 99.99% of human beings prefer the presence of an ass.
I mean, everybody loves a cute baby butt.
Don't they?
Like,
those little tushes.
Yeah, they're you know? Oh, they're so cute.
It's because they're round, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's, the presence of an ass. That is that kid, that kid's gonna have an ass.
Yeah.
And then as time goes on, you learn that was just a baby ass.
You lose that somewhere along the way.
What percentage of people do you think are out there with without an ass, like a flat ass? Because his wife has a flat ass, like a, it's like a, with, did you get that medically flat? Like, is that, is, well, that cosmetically like, flattened?
Yeah, that's like a body type, right? Like, yeah, swimmers have that, like, flat ass. Some, yeah, swimmers.
But like, yeah, some swimmers, and I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but if like her, like, she has no ass. Like, there are some people that have, like, she was like, like, oh my God, that's so like one of those, like, did the Anunnaki come down?
Yeah.
And, you know, thousands of years ago and make this precision ass? Like, like, the, like, no way an ass could be that flat if not for use of alien technology.
It was, I, like, just keep thinking about it in, like that's a muscle that you use, right?
Exactly.
So, like, is she not good at walking up hills? Like,
she can't be. She can't be.
You think that comes from wearing heels, high heels, too much? I mean, she looked like a fancy lady that wore.
She did, and she didn't look like a person that worked out hard. For living, yeah, with a person that's a fighter and who, like, trains his heart out, you, yeah, know? It's, like, it's weird that people end,
well,
up,
you're either all in or you're not. You know what I, yeah, mean? Like, with somebody like that, like, I don't think you, like, either dabble. I don't think you dabble at the gym if you have a partner that's all in. You're either, yeah, like, a gym rat with them, or you're doing your two different things.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But it's, like, you were saying earlier, you know, if it came down to a survival situation, like, flat ass, you got to go. I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of hills involved. It's survival. It's the survival of the assist. Yeah, survival ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I also kind of want to see them fight again now.
Daniel Cormier and John Jones.
And John Jones.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, that underlying battle is hilarious to me.
The, you, wife, know, ass off?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's, like, it's for the pride of your wife's ass. I would love to see how hard they bring it.
Yeah.
For the pride of their wife's ass.
Are you saying you'd bring it hard for the pride of my ass?
I think your ass speaks for itself, but yeah, I would. I mean, if, like, bring it? If I got into it with somebody,
mm-hmm,
and that was underlying.
You start throwing out wife in ass insults.
Like, if it came to be, like, yeah, I would like to believe that I was on the classier side, the more Daniel Cormier side of things.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to attack anybody's wife's ass. I feel like, you know, I'm lucky. I feel lucky.
Yeah.
You know, you got to appreciate the things that you have.
Yeah.
I feel lucky that, you know, you have the ass you have, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is, like, you know, I'm fortunate that you have, at the very least, the presence of an ass. Yeah. Right?
You got a pico ass.
You got a pico ass. At least a pico ass. And, you know, but if that was underlined, if, like, it came, just period, if, like, wives, like, our, yeah, wedding got thrown, yeah, into it, like, yeah, you threw my woman into this.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay. So you just made me meditate a little longer. I'm going to hold my abs a little tighter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My training just got a lot more pinpoint and precise to destroy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, this is coming from someone who is a stand-up comedian. But listen, let me talk about my wife. You know, that's weird. That's, yeah, a weird thing to do. I don't know why you would.
That seems like the low blow for men. Like, is that like, yeah, like, I mean, you're just trying to get the other guy riled up?
John,
like,
Jones is a fucking baby. I mean, like, he's like, he's the greatest fighter on the planet, yeah, Earth, right? But he's a child.
He's very immature.
He's very immature. Yeah. So after the fight, he steps out of the cage. I don't know if you watched it. It's like after everything's over, they're leaving the cage.
No, they stayed in it for a while. Yeah, right? A while.
And they're finally showing him leave the cage, and he steps out two steps. His whole team is behind him. And keep in mind, they done all this. They chilled. They relaxed. They, you know, all, yeah, this up and down. He went over to the side and talked to Joe Rogan while he was still in the cage.
Yeah,
and
I saw
told
that.
Him about that.
Yeah. He was being very respectful at that
very
point.
Respectful.
He was like, I love my fans. I'm so happy. Like,
yeah. Now they're mellow. leaving yeah, the cage, and somebody hands him like a bottle of something.
Oh, jeez.
And he opens it and starts splashing it over his head.
What?
Getting everybody on his team wet. Like all the people, like, yeah, the refs and officials who, yeah, are just like, that's rude.
Yeah.
Like getting people wet when they didn't expect to get wet is, yeah, so rude.
Didn't even, it's your celebration.
Yeah.
It's
like, come on, you
should have
did that in there.
Yeah.
Like we like our, everybody else like is like, they're on like, ah, oh, now we're just leaving the cage mode.
Yeah.
And he's like sprinkling them with liquid. You know, and I don't think it was water. It could have been water.
Yeah.
It wasn't coming out like, it was at least carbonated.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, what a dick.
Yeah.
It's a dick move.
Yeah.
It's a dick move. So
he has a hard time resisting the party.
Yeah, he couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't. He said, that's that picogram.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a pico rage. He had a little pico rage, huh?
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this this YouTuber that was shot. He got shot during a prank.
Oh.
Like, he was doing the prank. He was pretending to be a ghost. I know it's not funny.
I thought it was going to be the prank, you know, where the people, like, throw, like, bombs at people or something.
It was those guys.
It was those guys?
It was those guys. It was like, oh my God. And it's like, of all the things that he could have been shot multiple times for.
Yeah. He was pretending to be a ghost?
He was pretending to be a ghost.
When he, like, booed somebody and they, like, pulled out a gun and shot him?
I don't know what it was. I think he had, like, I'm like, so when I first read, I was like, clearly he must have had, like, amazing makeup on and, like, really presented as a ghost, and he really did some way to make it seem like a kid. I don't know. You know what I mean? But it was like a sheet over her head.
So
he, in his mind, was pretending to be a ghost. The other guy just had a guy in a white sheet attacking him.
How do you know the extent of attack? Like, did he touch the man that shot him?
I don't know anything about it. Like, these stupid little news sites that I get, they give me no information.
Yeah.
Like, there was another one where there was, like, a YouTuber was tased to death by a cop.
Oh.
Because he's, like, he's a bodybuilding YouTuber. That's what he's famous for. And he was on a Tinder date with some chick, and something happened, and he starts stabbing at her.
Oh.
You know? And, like, she's going to lose an eye.
Oh, jeez.
And police got there, and he wouldn't stop stabbing at her, so they, like, tased him. You know, it's
that's
like
a tragic story.
It is a tragic story, but that's all the information that they gave you. It's like, why did he start stabbing her?
Yeah.
You know, he's dead, but she's not. Somebody's got the answers to this.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I guess she's not, maybe not in the condition to recount her Tinder date right now. But
oh, that's a bad date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that
man.
Is a bad Tinder date. That's like a and what more? That's like a, I mean, like, nobody's going to care. It's like, nobody. That happens in the blink of an eye. It just goes by. Nobody's going to be more careful with these dating apps because of that.
No.
But how much, like, how vetted can you be? Like, this person is like, you match with this guy. You go out on a date with him. You look him up online. You see that he has this huge YouTube following. He's a bodybuilder.
That seems like it's safer, right?
You know, like, he has something to lose. He has something that he's working towards. He's visible. He's, you know, it's like, you know, like, goodness gracious, how much easier can vetting be at that point?
Yeah.
You know?
That's why I think I relate to the movie. So I watched Bird Box.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, when those apocalyptic movies where everybody out there, it's like the enemy. Like, they're all, you know, like sometimes don't you ever feel like that when you go out and you're just looking at all these strangers, like.
I go outside and I hope everyone's the enemy. I'm like, let this be the motherfucking day. Is this the day I get to fight my way back home? Oh, man. I've been preparing for this my whole life.
See, I knew I could say that to you and you would go further than me. It was a safe space.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I relate to it a little bit. You know, I just, like, those are more my fantasy. My fantasy is like, when I was in high school, you know, like, I had these dreams of, like, the school being attacked by terrorists and what I would do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how I would climb through the things and how I would save people, which people I would save, you know.
These came before the monkey dreams, huh? The monkeys escaping from the zoo?
No. Those have been, that has plagued me for quite a, like, ever since the Planet of the Apes was introduced to me.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it was like, maybe, I don't know. I always had both. I feel like I always remember both, or at least in college, both were happening.
Yeah.
Because I don't, so if anybody, so just so people know, this isn't some weird racial shit. Might have some clarification purpose, whatever. So, no, I used to have this nightmare, this reoccurring nightmare of just, like, vicious apes, just, like, super intelligent. And, like, Ansley can vouch for this. Like, I told her about this years before the remake of the Planet of the Apes came out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Back in 2000.
Yeah, it was, like, it wasn't even thought of.
Yeah.
You know? And those were the apes, basically, from that movie.
Yeah.
And they were just, and it was just, like, they were too strong, they were too intelligent, and it was just Flea. Like, everything was Flea. And always in the dream, like, I had to make a choice between going back to catch up to somebody who I cared about and helping to try to help them bring them along, or to keep going.
Mm-hmm. What'd you choose?
And I would always wake up there. Like, yeah. It's like, it's a tough part. I mean, that's tough. That's tough because it's like, it depends on who it is. Right? I mean, if it's you, you should have been faster. If it's one of the kids, I got to try.
You got to try.
You know, it's,
I'm with you on that. I'm okay with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's me, I should have been faster. Go. Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, if not, raise them in my image. You know, but
there was just a lion that, it was escaped from the park. They were cleaning its pen at a zoo, and it was supposed to be in another area, but it got out of that area, and it killed one of the workers that was cleaning the pen. That person had been working there for 2 weeks.
Oh, God. Man, what a, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So, it was likely, I mean, is the implication that it was that person's fault? Probably that
they didn't go there. They just said they don't know how.
Because I would imagine that there's a very strict lockout tagout policy
with the lion.
Feeding the lions, right?
Cleaning like, the lion. Yeah, cleaning. Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing. When you're transferring a lion from one cage to another, lockout, tagout, take a selfie. You know what I mean? Like this should be a big process with that. And it seems like somebody who's there for 2 weeks probably might.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like the longer you're there, the more likely you are.
Yeah.
Like right up front, man, I am like, bam, 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 bam.
Are you sure there's enough locks on this?
Yeah. I've got my own. Like, I did them all, but they don't seem like enough. But I did them all. Okay. We'll check them again. You know, it's just like you would imagine.
But I don't know. Maybe it was somebody else who had been there a long time. And like she was, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you clean a lion cage by yourself.
No. No, right? No. No, you got to have
I'd imagine
another person over your shoulder verifying that you did all this stuff.
Yeah.
And another person over that person's shoulder verifying that, you know, it's just like, goodness, like a nesting doll verification.
Yeah.
Imagine what's that long line of people in zoo shirts? They're all verifying. Yeah, it's like that's what it should be. It should be obscene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, could you imagine that, like, face-to-face with an out-of-the-cage lion?
Oh geez.
What would you do? Would you just accept it?
Would I fight?
I mean, like, cause really, fighting is your only option at that point. You can't flee. You turn your back. That's the same as accepting it.
Yeah.
So you really you need an opening.
I think I would try to talk to the lion, like, "Hey man, I'll get you food. I know where the food is. Just let me go. I'll be right back."
And he'll be like, "You have no idea. This isn't about food."
I know.
This is like, I need to, he needed, that lion needed to kill something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. Well, he died doing what he loved.
She died doing what she loved.
She died doing what she loved.
That's what they said.
Right?
She loved animals.
Yeah. That's one of those times you should use this.
Yeah.
That's a good time for it.
Yeah.
That person died. Well,
not what she didn't love being in a cage with the lion.
Yeah, ravaged by a lion. Yeah. No, I'm sure she didn't love that.
No.
But, I mean, she got to see something up close that not a lot of people in her position get to ever see in a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know? It's, why am I trying to justify what this lion did?
I don't know.
Lion black? What am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I trying? Well, the lion was probably from a place where it was a hard time. He was institutionalized. He knew nothing but
he didn't know anything
the
else.
Inside of a cage.
Yeah.
Yet he had inside of him to be a lion.
Uh-huh.
And, man, stuff be happening out there. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't stop thinking about these, I don't know why this story is making me thinking about these women at this show. They were animals.
Yeah.
They were animals.
Oh, the hairdressers?
Yeah, the hairdressers. Oh, my God. And what a twist of fate that was. What? So all this time, like, so here's the, this is funny to me. Because I've been cutting my own hair for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, all right, I'll try my own fade. You know, I'll figure it out eventually. And I've been getting better. Yeah. Right? And the whole entire thing is like, I just need to always have my hair cut to some extent before I do these corporate shows that I do.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't need, it doesn't need to, in my mind, it was like, it doesn't need to be perfect though. They don't care about my hair.
Uh-huh.
They just want me to be funny on stage and look professional-ish.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's not, you know, and then finally, I get one of these shows, and I don't find out until the day before that it's for just hairdressers.
Yeah.
Just 12 hairdressers in a small room. Well, I thought it was going to be a small room.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was off to the side.
Okay.
In a restaurant. There were no walls. There were no walls around us.
Yeah.
No microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she said, I'm not going to need it because the table is so small. Which, theoretically, if we were all in the same room, like a blocked off room, it would have been perfect.
And it was just like one table?
One table. Long table. Yeah.
And this was a surprise comedian for this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was like, so let's walk through this for a second, right? So, because I said that they were animals, but they had every right to be. They had every right to be because it was a surprise comedy show.
Yeah.
Right? So what I learned is that when people aren't expecting comedy,
mm-hmm.
and they're socializing and having a good time, there are people in those groups that think they are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they have been building the momentum of amassing an audience and a listening group all night long.
Yeah.
Then you show up and you're like, hey, stop all that.
Yeah.
You know, stop all this bonding. Stop, you know, like stop all this hierarchy building. Now there's like pockets of alphas all over the place.
Yeah.
Right? That don't want this to happen.
Yeah.
Like they built themselves to be the life of the party. And now the life of the party just showed up.
Yeah. Just walk up in here. Life.
With no work.
Yeah.
Put no effort in.
Yeah.
You know, didn't have to like tell any of these bullshit stories that they, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then, so what I learned to do is just kind of work with that.
Yeah.
And the alpha was located immediately. Immediately. And it's like, not the alpha in the sense that she told people what to do, the alpha in the sense that she is the life of the party. She'll take the butt of the joke. She'll make the joke.
She needs to be part of it, though.
She needs to be part of it. There's no way she cannot be part of this.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, you know, so you also have to kind of like, you have to kind of like guide them for how this can work.
Yeah.
Without outright saying it.
Yeah.
Because if you say it, there's something gets lost. Because there's, especially when it's a woman, because it's a woman a lot.
Yeah.
And when it's a woman, you can outright say it if it's a guy.
Yeah.
You can't outright say it if it's a woman because it seems like you're scolding her.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how charming, mm-hmm. no matter how soft, no matter how like, absolutely, like on the level of being a human, you
stop
say it.
Stop mansplaining.
Exactly. Exactly. So that took a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I ended up having to do an extra 5 minutes for the closer. Like I did the Whole Foods story. I closed with that. I try to close with just some, you know, stuff. The callback, the boo callback.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to close with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking through it, though. She got her momentum back again. She, like, lost sight of the rhythm that I allowed us to develop.
Yeah.
You know?
She wasn't with you?
Yeah, because that person doesn't realize how hard you're working at that.
Yeah.
They just think it's happening and they're part of it.
Yeah.
They don't realize that you're setting it up and, like, they're not paying attention to any of that.
Yeah.
Because they're just having fun.
Yeah.
Right? So, now, towards the end of those jokes, now I'm trying to build up to a closer, so I'm specifically and purposely changing my timing where she doesn't have room to say stuff anymore.
Yeah.
So now when she's talking over me.
Oh.
Now I had spent, you know, this is like, I think I did like a little over an hour.
Yeah.
And I spent a good 15 minutes getting her right.
Yeah.
You know, so I would say like 5 minutes before it started happening, 15 minutes to get her right. So 20 minutes into the set, we kind of have a rapport.
Yeah.
And that's happening for another 25 minutes. We're flowing.
Yeah.
We're working.
They were drinking a lot, though?
They were drinking. Yeah, they were drinking. But I didn't see her get topped off. Maybe she did, but, you know, It was she just went hard. I mean, she just like towards the end. I guess when she wasn't, she didn't have the moments to like that, those double dutch moments, like jump in between the two ropes, you know, one's up and one's down.
Yeah.
And she didn't have those openings. So she just started talking over me because she still was in the rhythm of saying what she felt like she had to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but this was towards the end and I had some momentum with the end of that joke and like it landed but didn't quite land.
Yeah.
So I had to like kind of like acknowledge, and that joke usually lands a lot harder when somebody's not talking through it, Nikki. You know, it was like, her name was Nikki. That wasn't a racial thing either. But, you know, and then she let me tell the last story. She like, she realized, she was like, oh, let me back off of this. And then we closed out strong. And yeah, but they were, it was work. It was effort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was effort. Because it was like, and the table had factioned off because like, I didn't have a microphone. So the back half of the table doesn't hear me as clearly as the front half of the table.
Yeah.
So when that's the case, you just start, like, if I can't hear him, he probably can't hear me talking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the person next to you can hear you talking.
Yeah.
And that person is either going to be annoyed or become a talker. And if that person becomes a talker, then the person next to them can hear. You know what I mean? It's like, so now you're creating this chain of people that either had the choice of not hearing the show or becoming a talker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, I'm a surprise.
Yeah.
They owe me nothing.
No.
You know? So it was good work.
Yeah.
Good effort. Good effort.
You and Nikki left being friends?
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. No, there was no animosity anywhere. I mean, like, I never, again, they're paying me for their good time.
Yeah.
They're not paying me for my act, per se.
Right.
They're paying me to make sure that they have a good time.
Yeah. You're like a stripper that keeps your clothes on?
Basically. Basically. Actually, that was my first joke. I was like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the stripper she paid. You know, and everybody was like, you know, they love that. You know, great opening joke. And, yeah, it was fun. It went, you know, it was fun. But my favorite was, so there's this lady named Barb. And she was wearing a brace, like a sling. She was wearing a sling.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her what happened. And she fell at the shop. She fell over top of a box, slid, messed up her shoulder, and landed on her face, her tooth came out.
Ow.
Came flying. Yeah. Barb.
Poor Barb.
I know, right? Right? That's like, that's quite
a
fall.
Who left that box in front of Barb?
Yeah, well, my thing was like, how fast were you going?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you slid? Like, how fast were you going that you slid walking? That's like,
that's
a ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of friction involved in a person sliding across the floor. You have to compensate that for that with speed.
Yeah.
You know, it's poor Barb. But yeah, what do you think Barb looked like?
Oh.
Or you get to pick Barb or Nikki.
Barb or Nikki?
Yeah.
Oh geez. So, Barb and Nikki, I don't even know if these are black hairdressers or white hairdressers.
Well, I mean, that's what, what she look like. That's how it works.
All right.
You don't get to know any of this stuff.
I don't get to know any of this stuff. So, I think that Barb in her sling.
Yeah, let's do Barb and Nikki. Let's do them both.
Okay. I think Barb's a little overweight. Because it sounds like once she gets momentum going in one direction, like she wasn't pulling it back, right? Like she's sliding and like she's toppling and she's got a lot of weight, like she's hurting her shoulder, like it's all coming down, you know?
Okay.
And her tooth is coming out.
Yeah.
And so I think
just kind of threw that in there. Yeah, and her tooth came out. So big.
But she's top heavy. She's got
top heavy. I see what you're doing.
She's got large breasts. And I think like hair is important here because they're hairdressers.
Yeah.
So Barb's hair. Barb has neat hair. I think Barb has.
Keep in mind her tooth came out.
Her tooth came out. actually, I can't finish this because I've got to go back and change. I don't think she's a big lady. I think she was a petite lady. That's why she could slide, because there wasn't much friction. So okay. Like there wasn't much weight, like in a box took her out, you know? And yeah. Like in my mind, this is an empty box, not a full box. So I think
yeah.
That, so I go back, I change this. So she's a light, she's a petite woman. That was moving along, a box took her out, you know, she's like a leaf in the air, like she's sliding, she's falling, her tooth is coming, you know, like it's all just happening to her. So she's a tiny lady. And she's got bangs and she's got straight hair. And I think these are black ladies, maybe like some Hispanic ladies thrown in there. And she's older. Barb is a little bit older. And Nikki is light skinned black lady, and she had like big hair, like in the curls, but it's like in an updo, and she's tall, and she's got big lips.
All right, here we go. They're all white ladies.
Oh man. Okay.
So make your adjustments.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, make your adjustments.
So Barb has.
By the way, I was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. What do you think they rounded up all 12 black ladies in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and they just all happened to be hairdressers? Like all 12 black ladies that live in Scranton, Pennsylvania, are hairdressers.
So Nikki is a boisterous redhead, and she's still got big hair. I don't know, Sydney. You're looking at me like I'm not getting this right.
No, I'm just looking at you. Just okay. Go. You can't focus on me. You have to tap into the universe. What are you even doing? What are you doing here? Come
on. I don't
know. Do you need to take a second and ohm?
I might need to
ohm. All right, go ahead. Get your ohm on.
No, you're going to make fun of me
again.
No,
I'm not going to make fun. And that shouldn't matter either. That shouldn't matter either. It's supposed to be your ohm. This is the first sound that created the universe that you're supposed to be getting attached with right now. And you're worried about whether or not I'm going to make fun of you? Goodness gracious. So for those of you who are not oming right now, so when her tooth came out, nobody even helped her. Somebody just threw paper towels at her because they didn't like blood.
Oh, no.
So, all right. Ansley has tapped in with the frequency of the universe.
Yeah.
And she is going to tell us what Barb and Nikki look like.
So Barb is somebody help Barb. Oh, Barb. So Barb, she's still a petite lady. And she's got straight brown hair. You know, she's got some wave into it because it's healthy hair, because they're hairdressers. And Nikki is a tall blonde. She's still got big lips. And she's wearing very colorful clothes, like maybe black, but with like some neon on it somehow. Maybe it's just her jewelry, like big jewelry.
Okay, that's what you're going with?
That's what I'm going with.
All right, so Barb, she is a short lady, petite-wise. She's a little bit top-heavy.
Okay.
You know, she has bangs. Okay. I think it was reddish brown hair.
Okay.
Look curly though. I don't remember being wavy, but it was like, I mean, all of their hair, whatever hairdo they had, whether it was from like the 1950s, whether it was like an old school hairdo or like a modern.
Yeah.
It was all precise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like they all knew they were going out with a bunch of hairdressers tonight too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, Nikki, she was a taller lady. She was tall. She was she would be like more bottom heavy, you know, like more on the Daniel Cormier's wife's ass side of things.
Okay.
You know, and she did. She had full lips. She had. You were right about the lip thing. But she had dark hair.
Dark hair. Yeah. Was it big? Was it up?
It was flat.
Okay.
Straight. I guess what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Straight.
But she, yeah. So there you go.
Okay.
So there you go. Once again, two Jack Bros making judgments. Yeah. That's a fun, Man, that's a fun thing to play. If that's not going to get you comfortable with everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Get your mind comfortable with everybody.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, be comfortable expressing that black people and white people are a little different. Like, yeah. We are.
Yeah.
We are. Like,
a little bit.
Come on now. It's weird. It's weird. It's, you have anything else? We said we were going to do a short episode just to come into the new year.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to,
No, I don't know. We went back to Texas.
Oh, goodness gracious. We did.
We back to the, back there.
Yeah, it was. It felt good. We used to live in Texas.
We did.
Decades ago.
Yeah.
We can say that, too.
We can say
decades ago in our relationship. Good Lord. Yeah, we used to live in Texas. We went back to Texas. How'd that feel?
It felt like it was good. It was good. Yeah. People were jolly. You know, it was the holidays. It was... you know, nice weather. I think people were feeling nice there.
Yeah, I took a lift for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody says heads up in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Goodness gracious. But no, so we were in San Antonio, and there's a place in San Antonio where there's like everybody kind of gathers like this. What was that place?
The Pearl.
So, and it's a stop on the river walk thing, you know, and it's just... It has like a little park and an open area, but it's like people just bumping into each other. Nobody was like if people were playing like catch with each other and somebody threw the ball and a person was going to go catch it and that person was running into a group of people having a picnic.
Nobody said anything. Just watch it collide.
Yes.
And then be like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. It was the weirdest thing. Like we were sitting down eating one time and a kid just rolled his face into the knee of one of the people we were sitting with.
Yeah.
And like, his older brother and sister were behind them, encouraging him to roll, but they were in distance enough to touch the person.
Yeah.
The whole time, but walking and with on their bellies or crawling, they were crawling with them.
Yeah, they were all just moving.
And just watched it happen.
Yeah.
And just watched it happen.
Yeah.
Like they were old enough to say, "Watch out."
Yeah.
You know, it was a ridiculous. Goodness gracious, that was ridiculous. But I did. So I talked to one of the Lyft drivers, and you know, like he was a Latina fellow.
Yeah.
A Mexican, I think. And he was talking about how much diversity there was in San Antonio compared to a lot of the other parts of Texas.
Yeah.
And I said that. I was like, I noticed that there was a lot of biracial children running around here of all different types. And
he was, and
then we started talking about that.
Yeah.
For like the whole entire ride.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently San Antonio is like a fucking social experiment of interracial children making.
Oh, man. So the next generation there, huh?
Yeah. Something interesting is going to pop out of San Antonio. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to cause a wrinkle in the fabric of things. So, but that was interesting. There was a lot of biracial children down there.
Yeah.
A lot of interracial couples.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah. I didn't even feel like people looked at us at all.
No, which is different.
Yeah.
You know, because
as soon as we got back to Philadelphia, the shuttle driver was like, sir.
Let's explain. Okay, so here's the deal. And you're right. Down there, nobody questioned it.
No.
Nobody questioned it. So Ansley and I'm black. She's white. If you haven't picked that up yet, you know, clearly we both come off very black and white. And you picked it up. You get that. You can hear that.
Yeah.
But so our son is as light, if not lighter, than Ansley.
Yes.
Right? Ansley's light. She's a white one. She's a white one. Remember? That's weird.
Yeah.
Right? You know, not going to get into any of the material that I do about it, but like he's my son.
Yes.
You know, the whole time we were in Texas, a southern state, a place where it's supposed to be closed minded.
Yeah.
It was so much diversity and variety of human down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were humans that didn't exist anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, and nobody was looking at our family like we were weird.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, my girls are a little browner,
mm-hmm.
but whatever, neither here nor there. So explain, Ansley, take it away. So, here's what happened.
We get back to Philadelphia.
After this enchanting week.
Yeah, it was a pretty great week.
We fit in.
Yeah, we did.
We fit in.
Nobody looked at our family funny. We get back to Philadelphia. We get our bags. We go to get the shuttle back to our car. Finn, of course, is leading the way because he's excited. he goes to get on the bus, and Sydney's right behind him, and the bus driver says,
"So there's a di- so now I'm between." I jump in to catch up with Finn.
Because Finn took off running, yeah. And we're trying to get bags.
And they're like stumbling with bags. They're not going to be able to catch up with him, so I do it.
Yeah.
So now I jump ahead of Ansley and her mom.
And the girls.
And I'm in between
Finn and us.
And
bus driver says, sir, let their family come with him.
Yeah. Let his family catch up to him. He was trying to make me go off the bus.
Yeah.
He's a black bus driver, by the way.
It was a black bus
driver. Which, by the way, that protocol is fucked up either way.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, slide him to the side.
Yeah.
Slide Finn
wait
to
for
the
your
side.
Family.
Let him wait for his family. Let me go by and put my bags in the bus.
He's going to make you get off the bus and let us all get on
That's
the bus.
That's what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, that was a ridiculous process.
Yeah.
You know, he was trying to. So, yeah, he was implying, not, he wasn't implying that I wasn't Finn's dad, but it didn't even register to him for a second that I could be Finn's dad.
No, you weren't with him. You were just some black dude that was in the mix.
Stop being rude to this nice white family. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Like, and he was going to punish me. He was going to embarrass me.
Yeah. Go stand down there and watch
him. No way that was the process.
Yeah.
There's no way that was the protocol.
No.
How to handle that.
Because he was trying to be polite. Because he was like, rush.
To that nice white family.
Yeah. He was like, don't rush.
Yeah.
Take your time. Leave that bag there. I'll get it for you.
Uh-huh.
Not nice to you, though.
No. That rude black man. Dude, what a fucking asshole, man. What an asshole.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I can't believe you were going to try to treat me like a child over this.
Yeah.
Which, and this is my son. Mm-hmm. Move his little ass to the side. Do you know what I mean?
Because he was running ahead like he wasn't supposed to. We were all like, Finn,
exactly.
Wait.
I got to wait for this undisciplined child now?
Yeah.
That's what you were going to try to make me do? This this kid who they told should be over there?
Yeah.
He shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be here. Tell him to get off the bus. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
how rude was that?
Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Exactly. Instantly. And we're supposed to be the open-minded people up here?
And it's weird, man.
Yeah. And that was justice in his mind?
That was.
He was going to try to emasculate me in front of white people to prove that he wasn't rude?
Yeah.
Or I don't know what. That was like, we're losing sight of shit. We're losing sight of shit.
Yeah.
When that is the answer,
mm-hmm.
when you think that is the answer, we're losing sight of shit. We're not people anymore.
No.
We're different. You separated us into different humans.
Yeah.
Not that we're humans who are different. We're different humans now.
Yeah.
This person deserves to be admonished. These people deserve to be lifted up
mm-hmm.
and carried onto the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Should I get off and carry their bag, sir?
Basically.
You know, it was like, goodness gracious, I can't believe you think that.
Yeah.
That was the answer.
That was the answer.
Ugh. I wish we could have ended on something funnier, but that's it. That's all I got. That did it for me. That took my last. I forgot how much that bothered me. I wasn't ready to talk about that yet.
No, I wasn't ready.
No, but you're right. It was the truth. It was the real shit that happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to put it out there. It was like, you know, these are the real emotions that I have about it right now. Because like that was just so low-level human, the way he tried to handle that situation.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, and how do you feel now that it wasn't the case?
Yeah.
Do you know
weird.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
That you were just going to try to embarrass me for that thing. How do you feel now knowing that you were wrong for all of it?
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I wonder if you processed it. I don't know.
No, people don't process shit up here. You don't process shit.
Yeah.
But, whatever. You know, because instantly we were like one of those fans.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wasn't my fault. Look at him.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. We're done.
Two
Jack Bros, thank you for listening. Do all the stuff. Subscribe. Thanks.
Yeah. Shit got you.